back when going on holiday was still allowed, Jess and I went on holiday to Mallorca, and we rented a car and we drove up into the mountains. The roads were quite scary, made worse, in fact, by the locals who decided that we weren't driving fast enough. And so they proceeded to both lean on their horns constantly and overtake us on blind corners. Now, I'd like you to imagine that you are driving along on a mountain road. Picture it. What's it like driving along on a mountain road? Peter and the other 10 remaining disciples were locked in an upper room when suddenly there was a sound like a rushing wind, and what looked like tongues of flame came and rested on each of them. This was the coming of the Holy Spirit as promised by Jesus. The 11 of them rushed downstairs and outside, and of course this is when people thought they were drunk, but instead they'd received the gifts of the Spirit. Peter stood up and he preached a sermon to the crowd, and he ended it with these words: "Therefore, let all Israel be assured of this: God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Messiah." When they heard this, they were cut to the heart. They realized what they'd done. They realized they were in trouble. They realized that God had sent them their Savior, the Messiah they were waiting for, but instead of receiving him, they rejected him and killed him.
So picture yourself back in your car driving along the mountain road, oblivious to the fact that your car is veering off towards the edge and the sheer drop down the mountain. But then suddenly you realize, how does it feel? You know, that sinking feeling you get, that realization that something's wrong, that you're in danger. It's probably not a slow dawning in this case. It's probably quite quick. What do you do? What do you do? I imagine that quite quickly you turn the wheel. You turn the steering wheel away from the edge and towards the safety of the road.
Realizing we are in danger is all well and good, but unless we actually turn the steering wheel, we're still going to veer off the side of the cliff. Realizing is fine, but we must also respond. The people said to Peter, "What shall we do?" And this is what Peter said: "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." The word repent simply means turn. Only instead of turning a steering wheel, we turn ourselves. We turn away from sin and self, and we turn towards Jesus and his life and his love. That is the sort of turning that Peter was talking about. And he pleaded with them. He warned them because he knew they needed to respond. Realizing they were in danger was not enough. They must, and we must, respond. Luke tells us that those who accepted Peter's message were baptized there and then. Now, something like 3,000 of them. But it was not the whole crowd. It was only those who realized and then responded who were baptized and received the forgiveness and the Holy Spirit that God was promising. Now, we may not reject Jesus in quite the same way they did. Some of the people in the crowd listening to Peter were no doubt in Jerusalem only a couple of months earlier when the crowd called for Jesus to be crucified. We may not reject Jesus exactly like that, but we do reject Jesus whenever we value someone or something more than him. We all reject Jesus when we put ourselves and our desires before him. We all reject Jesus when we fail to worship him as he deserves. We all reject Jesus. And so we all need to go through the process that they did. We need to realise the danger we are in. We need to realise the depth, the danger, and the depravity of our sin. And then we need to respond. We need to respond with repentance, saying sorry to God, turning away from sin and self and turning towards Jesus and his life and his love. And then we will receive full forgiveness and the gift of the Holy Spirit who helps us to follow Jesus. There is no other way than realizing and responding in repentance. That is the only way we can receive forgiveness from God and the gift of the Holy Spirit. And we need to do this every day. A wonderful friend of mine died on Holy Saturday, and he's now safe with Jesus, healed and made whole again. When he preached, he had a refrain that he used again and again, which has embedded itself deep in my heart: continual repentance and forgiveness. This is the daily cycle of a disciple of Jesus, realizing we need to repent, responding to God by turning away from sin and self and turning towards Jesus and his life and his love, and then receiving his forgiveness and the gift of his Holy Spirit. This is what we must do every day: continual repentance and forgiveness. It's not about wallowing in self-pity. This is how Christian disciples breathe. Do you know how to breathe? If you'd like to learn, perhaps you could echo the words of the prayer I'm about to pray, either out loud or in the quiet of your heart. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, I realize that I need to turn away from sin and self and turn towards you and your life and your love. Jesus, I do that now. I receive your forgiveness and your Holy Spirit with open arms. Help me to live no longer for myself, but always for you. Amen.